Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A Pennsylvania man accused of hiding out in a woman's attic for 2 days told a judge the woman wanted that kind of attention.
Really?
Yeah.
Then it all works out.
Mauricio Guerrero took the stand on Friday in his trial, and prosecutors have accused him of sneaking into the home of a woman he met on OnlyFans in 2021.
Do you like having your background?
And of taking pictures of her while she slept. But Guerrero testified that he thought it was part of the dynamic of their relationship, saying that she wanted him to be obsessed and a stalker and that she liked it. Now, he might actually not be too far
off. Are you kidding?
On Thursday, the victim testified that she was often drunk when talking to Guerrero and does not remember much of their conversations. Guerrero explained what he recalled from those conversations, saying, "We talked about meeting up, about me coming up between. Between that, we talked about having intercourse," he said. Prosecutor said Guerrero made 6 unwanted visits to New Hampshire, with the victim mostly refusing to see him, but she did testify that they met one time and had sex. She also testified.
So, obviously, you got to live in her attic now.
That she kept. Trust me, he's out of his mind.
He jumped that bridge.
She also testified that she kept communicating with him because she liked how it made her feel.
Yeah, like he's living in the attic.
The defense said Guerrero believed that the two were in a relationship based on their conversations and asked him on the stand how he got into the house. He said it was the back door. When asked how he did, he responded, "I tried to use a crowbar."
It's all about the back door with
her. She gave him a crowbar instead of a key.
Yeah.
And said, "Just let yourself in the back.
I want to move in with you. Here's your own crowbar."
The trial is expected to continue next week. A brave 13-year-old girl fought off a shark while being attacked at a Florida beach Thursday, and now she's sharing her heroic story. Ella Reed was sitting in shallow water with her friend near a jetty at Fort Pierce Beach when she suddenly felt a sharp pain on her side. She said the shark itself was so powerful, that was what it felt, what I felt the most, because it was hitting my stomach really hard. She punched the shark as it approached her, but shortly after the shark swam away, it ended up swimming right back to her. She said it wouldn't leave me alone, so I had to use my arm and use my hand too, so it got my arm and finger. After being approached once again by the shark, Reed immediately called for her mom and brother. Reed's mother said that she was in shock after seeing the shark swimming around her daughter. She said it was insane because she was totally covered in blood, pretty much from head to toe.
Well, now it started.
So she couldn't really see what went on.
Oh, man.
And she was shaking, but she was calm. She ended up getting 19 stitches after being bitten in the stomach, arm, finger, and the top of her knee.
Fortunately, someone on the beach had a possum with a bomb in it, pressed.
Oh, wow. Saved the day. Reed believes that she was bitten by a bull shark about 5 to 6 feet long and is at home recovering.
Sharks are the deadliest sharks.
Reed said that she is proud of the scars she has because she knows that it could have been so much worse.
Man, that's a miracle.
A longtime New York City news anchor was fired from the local ABC affiliate after he allegedly called his co-host the C word. Ken Rosado was fired earlier this month after making crass comments that were caught on a hot mic. So
Debbie's off today because she's a C-word.
So people heard this.
Yeah.
And that's the reason he's getting fired. He probably wouldn't have if he just casually called his co-worker, his co-host, the C-word. Which, by the way, that's Charlene Alcott. Charlene Alcott.
She's from here, right?
She used to work here.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, originally, it was thought that he made a racist comment, but his agent vehemently denied those claims. The station has yet to comment publicly on Rosado's dismissal. Rosado's former colleagues were told about his firing on Friday in a series of one-on-one meetings, and they were not told what he said. He started with ABC New York in 2003 as a freelance reporter. 2007 was given a shot at the anchor desk and remained there hosting This Morning alongside Charlene Alcott. His presence has been scrubbed from ABC New York's website and social media, including a profile segment that was done on him in September of 2020. So
that's hilarious. When you catch those moments, I used to have the clip of Sue Simmons from New York.
For you doing?
Yeah.
I loved that clip. Wildlife officials in Colorado had to euthanize a young mountain lion this week after the animal swatted and injured an 11-year-old girl in a rare attack. The child encountered the animal in her family's wooden hen house Wednesday night at their rural home. As she entered to check on the chicken coop, she found a dead chicken. The small sub-adult mountain lion was still inside the wire mesh coop and swatted the girl, leaving her with a puncture wound on her face.
Yeah, he could easily kill her.
Responding wildlife officers quickly euthanized the animal. The child was surprised that likely surprised the 30-pound young female lion, which was probably feeling threatened. They believed that it was a defensive SWAT rather than stalking type of attack because the animal did not pursue the girl. The child was treated at the hospital and released.
What's the status of the chicken?
The chicken is dead. I'm sorry.
All right.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Arnold the chicken. I'm adding him to the list.
Officials are investigating whether the animal
Simone.
Had rabies. Highly Jack. Pathogenic avian influenza.
Pepogenic.
Or
mamagenic.
Or another infection that may have influenced its behavior. But attacks like this are apparently rare. All right, and then we'll do one more. And this is a quick story with not a whole lot of details, but just weird, man. A person wielding a sword cut off a man's hand on Saturday evening in Riverside. Police responded to a report of a severed hand that was found on the sidewalk.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Just walking along.
Yeah, dude, you pick it up and wave at somebody. Hey, look what I found.
Hey, from Adam's family.
Around the same...
Are you lost thing?
Around the same time, a man in his 60s came into a hospital missing a hand and said someone with a sword cut it off.
I wonder if this is that guy's hand.
The victim was sent into surgery and is expected to survive, and no other details were immediately available on Sunday.
How would you identify your own hand? You know, I'm sure they probably have a bin of hands there.
Maybe so, that you can dig through and eventually find.
You know what? Yeah, I wonder if you'd be able to pick out... If we had pictures of 20 hands...
Yeah.
And one of them is yours. Do you think you could pick your
own? I think I would 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do it.
Because I have vitiligo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any identifying. Maybe because of my fingernails, I could probably.
Don't look too hard
that.
Right now. We're going to do this. Don't look at your hands.
We're going to take pictures.
Not
and then,
right now.
Yeah. Don't look and study your hands.
Yeah.
I'm too obvious.
Kathy's
my
got
vitiligo
a manicure.
Spells out Steve.
Yeah. I could still, with no manicure, I could pick out my own hand.
All right.
This story made me think of what's the movie you made me watch after so long that I didn't watch it?
Departed?
The Departed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he takes the hand and scratches his face with it. Yeah. It's messed up.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
University professor broke a record for the longest time living underwater without depressurization this weekend at Florida Keys Lodge for scuba divers.
Wow. He's probably trying to get people, guess what I did? Yeah, it's great.
Joseph Dettori's 74th day residing in Jules Undersea Lodge.
Yeah, okay, my cousin's...
It's a hotel, is it not?
They scuba dove. There, the Jules Verne Lodge. That's cool.
So wait a second. I'm sorry to jump in here, Preston, but so you scuba divers are the only way to gain access to this lodge?
I don't know how you gain access to it. I don't know if you have to scuba dive into it, but you scuba dive out of it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's situated at the bottom of a 30-foot deep lagoon in Key Largo. Wasn't much different from his previous days there since he submerged March 1st. He also goes by the moniker Dr. Deep Sea. He ate a protein-heavy meal of eggs and salmon prepared using a microwave, exercise with resistance bands, did his daily push-ups, and took an hour-long nap. That was yesterday. Unlike a submarine, the lodge does not use technology to adjust for the increased underwater pressure. The previous record of 73 days, 2 hours, and 34 minutes was set by Tennessee professor Bruce Cantrell and Jessica Fain, the same location in 2014.
And that must have stunk.
But Dettori isn't just settling for the record and resurfacing. He plans to stay at the lodge until June 9th, when he reaches 100 days and completes an underwater mission dubbed Project Neptune 100.
I would say, well, what does his girlfriend think? But yeah, I think we all know.
The mission combines medical and ocean research along with educational outreach and was organized by the Marine Resource Development Foundation. His research includes daily experiments in physiology to monitor how the human body responds to long-term exposure to extreme pressure.
He's doing some aggressive experimenting on self-pleasuring pressure.
I can imagine. Officials from the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks came across a fishy situation last Friday after finding a firearm allegedly being used to fish. And the game warden seized a 9mm handgun that was being used to take fish in Garden City. The warden said that written violations were issued for illegal means of take of fish and no fishing license. And it also reminded Kansans in this post, firearms are not a legal means to take fish.
So they were literally shooting at fish?
Yeah. While firearms can't be used to fish in Kansas, it is, however, legal to fish with a bow and arrow.
School of fish.
Or a crossbow. The wardens added that the non-sport fish may be taken only with fishing pole and line, trot line, set lines, gig, crossbow or bow, and arrow with a line attached.
I had a fishing bow once. It was pretty cool.
And they called non-sport fish, including carp, drum, grass carp, threadfin, and gizzard shad.
Gizzard shad.
Goldfish, gar, suckers, eel, shovel-nose sturgeon, goldeye, and bowfin. In addition to being illegal...
Those are the original pips.
Using guns to shoot fish can be dangerous, according to the game wardens. They wrote that shooting into a body of water can be a dangerous activity because bullets can ricochet off the surface of the water. So, stop shooting fish in Kansas, folks. A Maryland man was arrested after allegedly stealing a 5-ton military vehicle and leading police on a chase on Friday night.
What kind of military vehicle?
The Hartford County Sheriff's Office said that Michael D. Stevens II stole a privately owned 1986 923A 5-ton military vehicle from a residence in Bel Air, Maryland.
What's it going to take to put you in this?
Deputies responded to the scene on Friday. The vehicle was later seen in Bel Air and reportedly entered onto Interstate 95.
Wow.
It could have come up here. Deputies from the Special Operations Division of the Sheriff's Department and other law enforcement agencies began pursuing the vehicle down the interstate. Authorities deployed multiple stop sticks, but that could not disable the vehicle.
Oh, okay, so this is like a classic transport vehicle, like for military or supplies or something?
During the chase, the suspect crashed into several other vehicles. No injuries were reported. Eventually, the vehicle came to a stop after arriving in Baltimore, more than 20 miles from Bel Air.
Well, I'm here.
And then police say the suspect left the vehicle and fled on foot, but deputies were able to safely apprehend him and bring him to the county detention center.
If you're going to steal something, you steal a tank.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
A woman who told authorities she was kidnapped Friday morning at a convenience store in Southeast Washington and kept naked for hours in the cab of a U-Haul truck was rescued later that night after a police pursuit in Maryland. Police said in a statement the troopers arrested Dennis Bell and charged him with more than a dozen criminal offenses. Authorities said Bell, who police said also faces 19 traffic-related charges, was being detained in jail. Police said the victim, who was not identified, was taken to a hospital for medical treatment. Police allege that Bell stabbed the woman in the fingers.
Oh, my God.
With a pocket knife. The incident began Friday morning at a convenience store. Police said the woman told them that Bell pushed her into a U-Haul and threatened her life if she did not comply with his demands. Police said Bell drove the truck all day with the woman sitting on the floor at the front seat. She told police Bell removed her clothing. She told police that she did not know where she was throughout the ordeal.
This is a very bizarre story.
Yeah, at about 9:45, state police said motorists reported a U-Haul truck driving erratically and striking parked vehicles. Troopers located the truck, began a pursuit, and he refused to pull over. The chase ended eventually when the U-Haul got stuck in a ditch.
So the guy forced her into a U-Haul using a pocket knife?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah. Police said Bell refused to get out of the vehicle, and troopers got in through a passenger side window.
Boy, the folks at U-Haul are going to be pissed.
Found the victim and arrested Bell. All right, and then the last story is because of our next guest here.
Mm-hmm.
A Nigerian chef on Monday continued her quest to set a new global record for the longest hours of nonstop cooking as she cooked for nearly 100 hours.
Wow.
Surpassing the current record. Hilda Bacci has been cooking since last week, Thursday, when she set out the Guinness World Record of 87 hours and 45 minutes set in 2019 by Alata Tundan, an Indian chef. By 3 o'clock on Monday, she had cooked for more than 97 hours in the Nikki area of Lagos, Nigeria's commercial hub, to become a national sensation in the West African nation. Many on the scene and online cheered her on to reach the 100-hour mark. No one from Guinness World Records was present at the scene.
Isn't that part of the deal?
But the organization tweeted that it was aware of the chef's attempt to break the cooking record, and they said, we need to review all the evidence first before officially confirming the record. By attempting to beat the record, the Nigerian chef said Thursday that she wanted to show how hardworking and determined Nigerian youths are, and also as a campaign for young African women who are sidelined in society.
I'm surprised you haven't gone after that record, Kathy. Cooking. You're just always in the kitchen.
She only had 5-minute breaks every hour for almost 100 hours.
Well, then she cheated.
Yeah. How long do you actually think you can stay awake and remain functional?
And by the way, Casey, you're by heating elements and over frying pans and things like that?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I 24 hours maybe.
Right.
You know, and then I just start getting, forget it.
Loopy.
Oh, totally. If you're going to make like a 24-hour steak or something.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.